Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 29th of December, 2011, just hours away from closing the books on another year. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And our simulcast partners in Globe, it's KJAA, AM 1240, and in Douglas, Cochise County residents listen to us on KAPR AM 930. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. There are also three places for you to check out our program anytime, anywhere: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We launch today's show with a conversation with Dr. Len Jessup. He is the dean of the Eller College of Management, one of the world's top schools of business right here in our backyard in Tucson. Dr. Jessup will be talking about a new center to advance movement of ideas to the marketplace. At 20 minutes past the hour, is quitting smoking one of your resolutions for 2012? If so, we will have some great advice from Stephen Michael. Mr. Michael heads the University of Arizona-based Quit Smoking program known as the Ash Line. At half past the hour, Dr. Mark Sykes, our monthly contributor on planetary science, will join us. Dr. Sykes of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, PSI, is a key player in the exploration of the largest asteroid in the solar system. At 45 minutes past the hour, Rick Myers checks in. Mr. Myers represents Tucson on the Arizona Board of Regents, which oversees the Arizona University System. Is higher education giving our state a good return on investment? We encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. A couple of weeks ago, the University of Arizona announced something called Tech Launch Arizona, a new center aimed at speeding up the time it takes to move new ideas and technology from research lab to the marketplace. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dr. Len Jessup. He is the dean of the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Dr. Jessup is a University of Arizona and Eller College alumnus. He took over leadership at Eller last May after serving 10 years leading the College of Business and Entrepreneurial Studies at Washington State University. Dr. Jessup, Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us.
Happy holidays. Thanks for having me.
Are you excited about this new center called Tech Launch Arizona, and why is this a big deal?
Oh, I am very excited, and I think because it means so much, not only for the University of Arizona, but I think potentially what it can do for the city of Tucson and for the economy of the state of Arizona.
How does it work? How is it going to work?
Well, essentially what the university's done is it's a restructuring that grabs several units from around the university that are related to technology transfer and commercialization and pulls them together into one unit, TechWatch Arizona, that will report directly to the university president. And so, in effect, what it's done is kind of restructured and really repositioned in a much more strategic way the tech transfer capabilities of the university. And the other thing that the president wanted to see was a closer marriage between the tech transfer activities of the university and the commercialization activities of our McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship within the Eller College of Management. We've got a great entrepreneurship program, not only highly ranked, but it's also a great little commercialization engine in itself. There have been over 500 launches of student ventures out of that program. And so the the president would like to see a closer marriage between those activities and the spin out of the technologies from the university.
It really is an impressive list of what UA inventors have already developed, new approaches to drug delivery and treatment for various diseases and conditions, lower costs but more powerful optics fibers. There's been improved life-saving CPR techniques. Just some of the examples that are coming out of the University of Arizona.
That's absolutely right, and in a lot of other areas as well. There are great discoveries going on, not only in the life sciences, but as you say, in optical sciences and the other areas of physical sciences at the university, and in engineering and in the College of Agriculture. There's amazing discovery going on to the tune of about $650 million worth of funded research last year. And the idea now is to literally to capitalize on that and see much more of that spin out to the economy here in Tucson and in the state of Arizona.
We're speaking with Len Jessup. He is the University of Arizona Eller College of Management Dean. Do you come from a background of entrepreneurs in your own family, Len?
Well, in a sense, I do. My dad was a fireman in the San Francisco Fire Department. And like many other firemen, he always had a business on the side. There was always some small business of one kind or another. And so I grew up in that environment. And then being, of Italian immigrant background, all of my aunts and uncles and grandfathers and everybody that I can think of had small businesses. And so that was kind of the culture of our family as I grew up.
These centers for entrepreneurship are very popular at colleges of management around the country. You headed up one at Washington State. How is the one at the University of Arizona different? What sets this one apart?
Well, I'm proud of what we built back at Washington State University, but I have to admit that the program that we have here, the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship, is even better. U.S. News and World Report just a couple months ago rated it as the number six entrepreneurship program in the country overall and number three among publics. And for a good reason. It's a very competitive program. It's very difficult to get in. We handpick about 100 students at a time each year that go through the program. And many of them are Eller undergraduates, but we also have MBA students and people getting their doctorates in sciences and engineering from around campus. So they come from all around campus. It's really hard to get in. They are not only taught by the great faculty within Eller, but that we have mentors external to the university that come in and mentor them. Emery Toker is a good example of one of the Desert Angel members who comes in and mentors students throughout the year. And so they get really good training, not only education, but sort of hard skill training as well in launching new ventures. And then the infrastructure that enables them, if they want to actually launch the venture. So we had probably five or six from last year that they finished the term in May and launched their companies and are in incubator space around town. That's what sets it apart, I think, is they're able to actually launch if they want to.
The Financial Times newspaper came out with its annual study of the top business programs in the world, and the University of Arizona's executive MBA program ranked 87th in the world, 32nd nationally. That's pretty good. Or you want to build on those numbers, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt. right now we're ranked very, very highly throughout our departments, and particularly at the undergraduate level. And those MBA rankings, even though they're good, that's an area that we think that we can be doing better at. And so we've got toward that end, a faculty group right now is working in a task force and benchmarking against the great MBA programs around the country and around the world to find out what we can be doing to be even better at that. And we've got a clue to that so far as we think that tying in our MBA education in with entrepreneurship and innovation and these commercialization activities may be a good path forward for us. And so I'm waiting anxiously for this faculty group to finish their work and report back to us what they think we ought to do.
The mantra these days in Tucson is Tucson needs jobs, and I think people need to look at the University of Arizona and what you're doing over there. You talk about an economic engine. You mentioned some of the big-ticket items that this entrepreneurship can bring to our community. It really is a job creator, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I mentioned that the number of launches coming out of that McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship, and many of those companies are still around. Post-Bid Ship is a good example of one being nurtured by Harry George and some other folks here in town. that I think will is not only an up and running company that's employing people right now, but could potentially revolutionize logistics in the way that FedEx did many decades ago. So I think this is definitely a little economic development engine here just waiting to take off.
You know, we talked to you after you started the job a couple of months ago, and you were on the road a lot. I assume you're still doing a lot of traveling, meeting with alums around the country.
I am. I mean, this week I'm fortunate to be here in Tucson with some family, enjoying the sunshine that we're having this week. But we wrapped up that tour of the country, and yet I think I've lost track, but I think it was either 12 or 13 different cities around the country, and we estimate that we met with probably about 1,500 alum in the various events that we did around the country. And that was a fabulous tour, a very, very warm reception. Our alum were very, very happy to see us. And we'll continue that now. That was just the beginning of a building of a network of Eller alum around the country.
Len Jessup is with us. He heads up the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Let's talk a little bit about that tour. You met with 1,500 alums touring a dozen or so, or a baker's dozen of cities. What kind of messages are emerging out of those meetings?
It was interesting. It was a little bit different in each of the cities that we went to. So, for example, in San Francisco, very, very vibrant group of our alum that are actually thriving, doing quite well in San Francisco and down in the Silicon Valley. And they were happy to see us there and wanting to help us with placement of our grads out there and internships and full-time jobs. When we went to Chicago, they were just, our Chicago alum are there watching the alum from the Booth School at Chicago and Kellogg at Northwestern that have very active alumni networks. And they wanted to mobilize themselves with our help to form an active Eller alumni group there at Chicago to rival those of Booth and Kellogg. And so it took a little bit different flavor in each of the cities that we went to. But in each city, there was definitely an energy among our alum. They're very passionate about coming from the University of Arizona, let me tell you that.
What would you say about a goal that you have set for yourself for 2012? It is resolution time, as you know. In a couple of minutes here on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be talking about those folks who make the resolution to quit smoking. Are you making any resolutions, Len Jessup?
Well, with all the travel that I do and as busy as I am, my personal goals have been to make sure that I continue to take care of myself and to keep working out.
Yeah. What kind of goal have you set for the college?
Well, for the college now, the real fun begins on Tech Launch Arizona. Now we really get to kind of flesh that out and start to work on the pipeline of technologies. And the real work begins here now in getting these things out into the marketplace and into products and services that can make a difference. So that's going to take up a big chunk of our time, is implementing the vision of Tech Launch Arizona. And then in terms of our internal programs, once this MBA faculty task force comes back with their recommendations, then we'll begin a series of changes to the MBA curriculum that we think will take it to the next level, and I think that'll all take shape in 2012. And we've got a number of other things like that, program changes that we'll begin to implement at the undergraduate level and the MBA level, and then building out our exec ed 2012.
Okay, Len Jessup, thank you for being with us, and again, Happy New Year to you, Len.
Happy holiday. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks a lot. Len Jessup, heading up the Eller College of Management, which continues to score very high in the rankings, and Dr. Jessup wants to bring it even higher for the College of Management. Okay, quitting smoking. That's our next topic. One of the big New Year's resolutions for many. 12:18 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back right after this.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock, for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Twelve 22 on the Buckmaster Show, and a program reminder, next Wednesday at 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll spend a whole half hour with Dr. Andrew Weil. So we'll be taking your questions along with speaking with Dr. Weil, so you might want to mark that for next Wednesday on the Buckmaster Show. One of the top New Year's resolutions for Americans is to quit smoking. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Stephen Michael. Mr. Michael is the director of the Arizona Smokers Helpline at the Mel and Enid Zuckerman College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. Stephen, good to see you.
Good to see you again, Bill.
You having a fun holiday?
Yeah, actually, this has been a really nice one.
Maybe a little time off?
I actually took time off this year just before Christmas because we knew we were going to get busy again.
And it's been a busy year. Tell me about how things have been going over at the Arizona Smokers Helpline.
Well, this has been a great year for the helpline because not only have more people wanted to quit smoking than ever in the history of the quit line, but the state's also had the money to be able to support the quit line this year. So it's been a win-win for everybody.
Give me some numbers.
Well, this year our goal really was to get about 35,000 people to call in, and we had over 37,000 so far, and over 14,000 people have gotten coaching, have signed up for a coaching program and worked with a quick coach. And we're looking at still about 40% of people quitting.
Which is fantastic. That's pretty good numbers.
Yeah, that's great. The numbers are going up every year. So people are really serious about wanting to quit and sticking with it.
And, of course, this time of year, many people have tried. You know, they make this resolution. Maybe they make it every year, and they've been making it for many years. What advice do you have for them, Stephen, for people that really want to take the first step to quitting?
The best thing to do, and we're finding more and more evidence for this, is to get help. It's really, really hard now to quit on your own. There's not as many people smoking these days, which is good news for people's health. But getting help is really important. And we found that using medications, especially in the beginning, using some medications to help you get over those, the withdrawal symptoms, and then getting yourself a coach to work with you for 3 or 4 months to really get you over the rough spots is probably the best thing people can do to get quit.
Why do you think you're seeing more people wanting to quit now? Could the economy have something to do with it?
Yeah, we're hearing more and more people realize that one pack of cigarettes that they're paying $6 to $8 for, and even at a carton, they're getting pretty expensive. People are spending over $40 a week, some people up to $100 a week on their cigarettes, and they realize that money could be going for other things, and they're realizing just how much wasted time it is. You know, so we're hearing a lot of different stories now really related to the economy. It's not just about health. People know it's not good for their health. We don't need to tell them that anymore. But they're really seeing the financial impact and the impact on their families.
Are you getting some people who say they've really gotten to the kind of the final leg of this journey to quit smoking? Maybe they were a pack-a-day smoker, and they're down now to maybe 2 or 3 cigarettes, maybe even 1 cigarette a day, just can't let it go.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest increase in people we've seen, is the folks who really were up to a pack and a half, 2 packs a day, and they get to the point where it's like, I just can't stop. I need that one with my coffee in the morning. We're getting a lot more calls from those people who just need the help to get over that hump. It's like, how do I break? Because that's what we call the habit. It's not just the addiction to the nicotine, but then you've got those habits. And a lot of people are struggling with that last 1 or 2 cigarettes. So we are spending a lot more time with people on that.
It's interesting. 70% of smokers will make a quit attempt in their lifetime. Fewer than 5% who try to quit on their own stay quit for 6 to 12 months. So most smokers will quit, is this correct, 8 to 12 times before staying quit for good?
It's actually more than that.
Is it really now more than that?
In the last 2 years, some people are making, on average now, 14 to 17 quit attempts before they can stay quit for a year. So we always tell people right up front, if you're on number 6, stick with it. If you relapse, don't worry, you're still ahead of the curve. You know, stay on the pony, call us. Don't be embarrassed. If you pick up another cigarette, don't be embarrassed. Call. We know what it's like. Give us a call and we'll just get you started again.
The Arizona Smokers Helpline offers free telephone quit coaching. It's 1-800-55-66-222. And you also have free online quit coaching services at ASHline.org. When they do work with a coach, typically, how does it work? I mean, what's the process?
When people call in, we get them enrolled. We'll ask them some questions, just like going to the doctor. We want to get some information about how they smoke, how they use cigarettes, what their lifestyle is like. And then we hook them up with a coach. We'll work with them to set some goals, really figure out why it is they want to quit, and set up some real good motivation strategies to keep people motivated, and then work with them to prepare for the bumps, because a lot of times when people relapse, it's because something happens that they weren't expecting. So one of our goals is to help people practice getting ready for those things. You might be lucky and none of those things might happen. But we're finding most of the time, usually 60 to 90 days after somebody's quit, something in life kicks in that really stresses a person out and they want to reach for that cigarette.
What is it typically? It could be any kind of a stressful event.
In the short term, it's usually it could be anything from, you know, getting yelled at by your boss to, you know, your spouse getting used to you. Because one of the things is your personality changes when you quit. You have to change some things. And sometimes the spouse is not the most supportive person because they're used to you when you're smoking.
And suddenly you're a different person.
Now you're a different person. Exactly.
Call It Quits is an app that's available now, I guess, on the iPhone. How does that work?
The Call It Quits app was set up for people who need another tool, because one of the things we know is the more tools you have, the easier it is to stay quit. So it's an application that lets you set up some goals for yourself. You can work on quit tips. If you're having a craving, you can go on and it'll give you some hints on what you could do for those cravings. And you can set up a resource call list so you can, you know, connect yourself to 3 to 5 of your buddies. And then you don't have to memorize their numbers. You can pull up their call list and just click the one. And one of them can be your coach.
Just another tool. Well, thank you so much, Stephen Michael, director of the Arizona Smokers Helpline. Thanks for being with us.
You bet, Bill. I love it.
Happy New Year to you. Coaching, if you'd like to check out the ASH line, it's 1-800-55-66-222, and the website is ashline.org. We'll be going up in space with Dr. Mark Sykes. That's next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us on this Thursday afternoon.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. As the Iowa caucuses draw near, some of the candidates are still looking to establish themselves as the true conservative in the race while questioning the conservative credentials of their rivals. Rick Perry today targeted Rick Santorum. Perry is casting himself as both an economic and social conservative who is best equipped to take on Barack Obama. Perry has slipped in the polls. Santorum has gained. More Occupy protesters have been arrested in Iowa, where they're planning to go to the campaign headquarters of each Republican candidate and President Obama's before the weekend is out. Egyptian soldiers and police today have stormed offices of pro-democracy groups targeting those that are critical of the country's military rulers. The offices that were ransacked included those of U.S.-based organizations like the International Republican Institute, which is observing Egypt's parliamentary elections. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
This is the Buckmaster Show. Scientists with the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute have had a very busy year. Last March, the Messenger mission entered into orbit around Mercury, the closest planet to our sun. And after 4 years, the Dawn mission is nearing its destination, Vesta, the second largest asteroid in the asteroid belt and the only asteroid visible with the naked eye. It's a relic of our solar system's birth. Scientists at PSI are now receiving the first clear images of Vesta, revealing some incredible geologic detail. Dr. Mark Sykes is the Buckmaster Show contributor on space exploration. Dr. Sykes knows a little bit about PSI because he's the CEO and the director of PSI, which is a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He chairs NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group and serves on the Planetary Science Subcommittee on NASA's Advisory Council. This is really a busy kind of space weekend. Really, right now, a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on, Bill.
And we've got not only the Vesta, let's talk a little bit about what's going on. There's a launch tomorrow, right? For what is it that's coming up on New Year's Eve?
Oh, on New Year's Eve, there was two small probes sent to the moon, Grail A and B. And they're going to be mapping the interior structure of the moon by getting into a very low orbit about the moon and measuring each other's position to within the width of a human hair.
Wow.
And so that way they're very sensitive to the gravity variations that they're traveling over. And Grail A, the first spacecraft, gets into orbit New Year's Eve at an hour or so before midnight. And the second spacecraft arrives the next day on New Year's Day. And then they'll hook up, get in proximity of each other, and they'll get down to 50 kilometers above the surface of the moon. So very, very close to the surface of the moon to make these detailed measurements.
Despite having gone to the moon, we still really have quite a few questions about it, don't we?
We have a lot of questions because, as with a lot of science, the more we learn, the more questions we have, and the more we realize that some of what we understood previously is in need of adjustment. And so it's a never-ending fun activity.
Let's talk about Vesta. This is a really dear to your heart. There was a really nice piece in the Wall Street Journal about really this NASA probe that gives Vesta asteroid a close look. And it says it's not just a hunk of rock. So what are we trying to learn from the asteroid, Vesta?
Well, Vesta is interesting because it is kind of a transitional object between what we think of as normal asteroids, these small fragmentary bodies, and planets. Vesta was large enough that early in its evolution, it heated up, it melted, it formed an iron core like the Earth. It had volcanism on its surface, covering it with basalt. And now we've sent the Dawn space, but it halted in its evolution about 3 million years in. And so now we've got the Dawn spacecraft there to take to build an understanding about some of the earliest stages of planetary formation, including what Earth must have gone through at this point in time.
So the closest approach to Vesta is really right now, I guess, through pretty much March.
We're right in the midst of what we call our low altitude mapping orbit, or LAMO. And that's where PSI's grand instrument, the gamma ray and neutron detector, is prime. It's because it operates best when it's closest to the surface. It's measuring gamma rays and neutrons coming off the surface to determine what the elemental composition is. How much iron, how much aluminum, how much carbon or hydrogen is there.
So how did PSI get involved with Vesta? I mean, these things take years, I would assume. When did the whole thing start?
Well, the Dawn mission itself, I was involved with its origin back in the day, 10 years ago. And we've had a number of PSI people involved with the mission. In fact, today we have more scientists on the team than any other institution. We have about a dozen. And so we've been involved with the project from the beginning. And this instrument, the grand instrument, was built at Los Alamos National Lab. But then that team moved over to Planetary Science Institute several years ago. And so it's operated out of PSI now.
What do you think might come out? I mean, what do you hope will come out of this journey to Vesta?
Well, we're going to get a good understanding of what it's made of. We're hopefully going to get a good understanding of its interior structure so that we understand why I was describing the formation of the iron core and stuff like that. You know, do things happen the way we expect them to actually happen? We've got this giant – several large impact basins on the surface which probes something of the interior. And so, you know, maybe we get to look under the surface a little bit to see what that is made of and see if that conforms with our expectations. But VESTA is also revealing, you know, structures that we haven't seen before primarily because, you know, it has significant gravity at its surface, you know, compared with other asteroids because it's so much bigger. 500 – it's the size of Arizona. And for me, it looks like a giant – almost like a giant gravel pit because the surface has been battered over the age of the solar system so thoroughly that it's crunched it up, not mixed it, but rather just shattered the surface so that we see a lot of mass flow avalanches, landslides and things on its surface, which is very interesting.
And there is a mountain three times the height of Mount Everest, which crowns VESTA's south pole. So we've got some big altitude mountain,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, we have VESTA has the largest variation in topography than any other asteroid.
Well, I'm going to ask you a really stupid question, but of course there are no stupid questions when I'm talking to Dr. Mark Sykes because he always makes it seem pretty easy. But why? What's this asteroid belt all about? Why are the asteroids all in one area?
Well, the region between Mars and Jupiter, where we have the main asteroid belt, was a location where, like in other regions of the solar system, planets were forming. And planets started out, even in the area of the Earth, as kind of small asteroidal bodies, a whole bunch of them that would then accrete together and get bigger and bigger and bigger and start scooping up more of these objects. This process was also going on in the asteroid belt, and VESTA and our second target, Ceres, which we'll be going to in 2015, were protoplanets and on their way to being planets, Ceres just barely making it. But then that process got shut off by the formation of Jupiter. It caused some gravitational sweeping through there from Jupiter's gravitational effects and things. Instead of accreting, they started smacking into each other. And so the result and 99% of the mass was tossed out. And what's left in the asteroid belt is primarily fragments of this interrupted planetary formation process.
And what is the difference between a planet and an asteroid?
Well, my definition of planet is planets around things that orbit stars, that they're big enough that their gravity dominates their shape. And so Ceres is on one side of that boundary where it's the only asteroid. It's about 1,000. It's about the size of Texas. That's where its shape is dominated by its gravity. VESTA is just on the other side where it's been bashed by that big South Pole impact, and its shape has not relaxed into a round shape because it's not quite big enough for the gravity to crush the material out of which it's made into that shape.
Dr. Mark Sykes is with us, and he heads up the Planetary Science Institute here in Tucson. They do some fantastic work. I'm a member of the Planetary Science Institute, and I urge all of the Buckmaster Show listeners to join as well. It doesn't cost a lot of money, and they do a lot of good work. I mean, a little bit about the origin of the Planetary Science Institute, Mark Sykes.
Well, the Planetary Science Institute is a Tucson-grown institution. In 2012, which is just around the corner here, will be our 40th anniversary.
Wow.
We have two of our founders, Bill Hartman and Don Davis, are still with us. They wanted to strike out on their own. They started out at the University of Arizona, but you know they wanted to do their own stuff.
Kind of sounds familiar to the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And so
I can relate to that.
And it was for many years it was a small institution. Like I said, here in Tucson this whole time, and in the last 8 years or so, we've grown substantially to where instead of say a dozen to 20 people, we're about 100 people and 80 PhDs in 17 states and 5 countries.
You've got people really working all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
So looking ahead to 2012, you know, of course, the asteroids, that's going to be a big part of your mission. What else is coming up?
Well, we have the arrival of the Mars Science Laboratory at Mars, and that's going to be – I wish they'd put a camera down on the surface of Mars just to watch this thing land.
When is that happening?
I don't have the date. I'm thinking next summer.
Okay.
It'll be lowered by a crane from rockets hovering above the surface to bring this thing the size of a SUV down to the surface of Mars and do work down there. That'll be amazing. We have a number of PSI scientists involved with that mission. We've got continuation of the Cassini mission.
Is that kind of what NASA calls the dream machine?
Yeah. No, it's pretty amazing.
And you know, we keep hearing about these Earth-sized planets discovered. We keep hearing more and more about them, and it raises the question. And of course, I've only got a minute to bring up a very, very complicated question: is there life out there?
Of course. No, we haven't found it yet, but I don't think that the processes that have occurred on the Earth are that unique or unusual in the universe as a whole. And so you'd think that – I think that it would be quite likely that given the right conditions, they would arise in other places. And it's just a matter of finding enough needles in the haystack and then among those needles to see if anything's there.
And who knows what that life looks like.
Might look like us.
Maybe. Anyway, Mark Sykes, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too, Bill.
We'll look forward to talking with you in January. Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute, homegrown right here in Tucson, Arizona, be celebrating its 40th anniversary in 2012. 12:45 on The Buckmaster Show, and Rick Myers is coming up next. Stay with us.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on Earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Coming up on 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show, we are live noon to 1 each day here on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Rick Myers. Mr. Myers represents Tucson on the Board of Regents. Mr. Myers is the Chief Operating Officer for the Tucson-based CPATH. And Mr. Myers, along with former Senator Dennis DeConcini, who's also a member of the Board of Regents, is helping the search committee to select Robert Shelton, the former University of Arizona, in the replacement process. Rick Myers, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Bill.
How's that process going in searching for a new university president?
Well, we're working very hard. If I could describe where we are, basically we're creating a pool of top-tier candidates. We've looked at probably a couple of hundred CVs from leading individuals across the nation. We're absolutely, digging into them. We're having discussions informally with people. Everyone's still a prospect at this point. We haven't converted anyone to a candidate. And we are, just working through a lot of discussions.
Well, we had Dr. Eugene Sander, who is the 20th president of the University of Arizona. He was on the program recently, and he doesn't like to be thought of as just a temporary guy, and I know he's filling a need right now, but he seems to be settling in, Rick Myers, to the job.
No, we appreciate that. Dr. Sander is just a wonderful man. And I wish he'd be willing to stay on for an indefinite period. But, as he said, he'd like to do this until we find an outstanding person to take on the job. So we're going to continue running the search until we find just that best person.
Rick, front page story of the Arizona Republic. Perhaps you didn't get a chance to look at it, but it says that Arizona legislators, a group of them, are renewing their push for guns on campus. They'll be reintroducing that bill, of course, which came up in the last session of the legislature, which would have allowed concealed weapons on campuses. And I know you and your colleagues on the Arizona Board of Regents, along with professors and a lot of students, do not like this idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely we don't. Our job is to provide a safe environment for students to learn and to, become adults. And it's not an environment that we think is conducive to having firearms running around on campus.
So I assume the Board of Regents will probably be taking a pretty good stand, a pretty strong stand against this proposed legislation.
Yeah, I know. The police force that we have on the campuses are all completely against having more guns on campus, and we just feel that it's not the right environment to have.
Rick Myers is with us. He's a member of the Arizona Board of Regents, and he's also the Chief Operating Officer for the Tucson-based CPATH. And, Rick, we had Mara Aspinall, who heads up Ventana Medical, on our program yesterday. And I asked her about, she actually listed about three things that need to be done to attract more high-tech and biosciences to Arizona. And right up there is we have to support not only K through 12, but higher education in this state.
Oh, exactly. I tell you, Mora is a wonderful addition. Having a leader of her stature and just tremendous achievements come to the state in and of itself is a very important thing. Critical Path Institute, where I am right now, is getting ready to name, probably in the next 2 weeks, a new CEO. And that CEO also will be a tremendous national stature person to come in and fill the large shoes of Dr. Ray Woosley. And we're excited about that. So I think bringing strong leaders like that here and those leaders recognizing that the way for Arizona to fulfill its potential is to provide the educational background to our people so that they're able to take the jobs the high-paying, high-tech jobs, you know, is critically important.
The upcoming legislative session, the universities will be asking for, I think I saw a figure of about 19% more money. Does that seem about right?
No, what we're asking for in this budget submission is basically one-time expenditures. You know, the legislature has told us that they're concerned with, even though the economy looks like it's getting better, they don't want to put a lot of things into the budget that will be ongoing expenses. So what we did is we came up with a list of items that have not been funded recently by the legislature that are, you know, kind of one-time expenses that would help the university certainly to get back on their feet with some of the building renewal programs, maintenance, and other efforts that are needed, but not be something that's a repeated expense year after year. So we've given that to the legislature. We're working with the governor's office, and we're working with the legislature now to prioritize some of those items and really talk about what we can do as the governor submits her budget.
Because year after year with budget cuts, the conversation had been pretty much the university systems need more money. But I guess the dialogue and the question has changed a little bit to what is it that you want us to produce, and what is the assignment that you are giving us to meet the workforce needs for the state of Arizona?
And what we've talked to the legislature about is what we call performance funding, and it's really looking at outputs. It's how many degrees do we want to create in Arizona? What's the educational level of our population that we want to achieve? What's the economic impact that we want our universities to have in terms of new job creation, new company creation? And let's fund the universities then to support the output that the state wants from the universities to serve us. And that's what we're trying to switch over the next few years, and put a funding formula in place with the legislature that is focused on outcomes, not input.
And how does tuition fit into this new dialogue?
Well, you know, we would very much like to minimize any type of tuition increase. We've had to raise tuition significantly over the last number of years, and we all recognize we're getting to a point where we can't continue to raise it and still have access to the universities for the majority of our population. So even with financial aid, you know, the higher we raise tuition, the larger the obstacles become for individual families. So we'd like very much to not raise tuition any more than absolutely necessary.
You know, that report that came out from the Arizona Board of Regents showing higher earnings for college graduates and their economic impact on the state and local municipalities, I think this probably doesn't come as a surprise to those of us that have been following economic development that those with bachelor's degrees earn 80% more than non-degree holders.
No, it's based on the facts of, it's not based on projections of the future. It's based on what's been happening with education over time. And I think it does help to support the idea that the better educated all of us as individuals can be, the more opportunities open up for us in higher paying jobs and higher tech companies that we can work for.
You know, you mentioned the Critical Path Institute, of which you are associated with. There'll be a new CEO announced, taking, as you say, very big shoes to fill for Dr. Ray Woosley, and we hope to have that new chief of CPath on our program here after that announcement is made. For those that don't know about the Critical Path Institute, which is based right up on River Road, perhaps people have driven by it and have no idea what it is. Rick Myers, tell us, what is it?
Well, basically, it's a group of medical doctors and PhDs here in Tucson who are working with the Food and Drug Administration and working with the pharmaceutical industry on how to change the process to develop new drugs. You know, we spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year on basic science in this country, but so few of those new ideas that come out of basic science are actually reaching the bedside, actually helping patients with new drugs. And a lot of that is because our process is really driven by decades-old technology and is not focused on utilizing all of the new science that's been developed to better get the drugs to market faster and safer. And we're working with the FDA, and we're working with the industry to qualify consensus science, to qualify new science that can dramatically speed getting drugs to market. the industry sharing information, which they hadn't done before. In Tucson, we've created the world's largest database of Alzheimer's patients. We have over 7,000 patients of data from industry clinical trials that have been pulled together and made available to scientists around the world. No one had ever done that before. The information was just sitting in the drug company vaults. We're doing that now for other major diseases. So we really believe that by bringing the companies together with the regulators, with the scientists from academia, sharing information and developing tools that can be used to speed drug development, it can make a tremendous difference in all of our future.
It's a good place for CPATH to be based, Tucson, Arizona, as we become a leader in bioscience. It's really, we're really pushing to be at the forefront there. Rick Myers, thank you very much. I hope you have a great new year, and we'll look forward to speaking with you often in 2012. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Bill.
Rick Myers with us. He is a member of the Arizona Board of Regents. He's also the chief operating officer for the Tucson-based CPATH. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Tomorrow, we will have the mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, will be with us, our Friday Focus interview. Then Jimmy Bogle, the weekly, and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We sit down and talk about this very tumultuous year in Arizona and look ahead to 2012. It's the Buckmaster Show. Thanks for being a part of it. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow at noon.
KVOI, Cordero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.